Good afternoon. Can everybody hear me online? Raise your hand if you can hear me online.
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Thank
Welcome.
you. Welcome. This is the Kensington Community Service District Emergency Preparedness Committee meeting. It is Thursday, January 22nd. It's about 4:04, and I'd like to call the meeting to order. First will be roll call. Director Paul,
Here.
Director Spell,
Here.
Director Watt,
Here.
Director Meduno, myself, here. Our public members so far are Kay Vaughn, here. Katie Gluck is absent, and Homas.
Here.
All right. Joining us online is our interim general manager, David Aranda, our staff consultants, Mary Morris Mayorga, and Rachel's here with us in the room, and Johnny, oh, there he is. Johnny Valenzuela, our emergency preparedness coordinator. Welcome. Next up is public comment. You can have the floor for about 3 minutes, and then here comes Lori. Hoping she's good. And if you have something to say that is not about the agenda, please speak up now.
This is my first meeting. My name is Bill Scott, and I'm on the board at FSK. So I've been working on fire things for the last year or so.
Nice.
SFK is
Fire Safe Kensington.
Fire Safe Kensington.
Oh.
That's okay. I don't always get
the. I use acronyms all the time.
Yeah.
Welcome. And we also have Marion.
Yes.
Last name?
Hennen.
Hennen. She is also here. She will be coming up on the agenda later. All right. So if there are no public comments, I will move on.
Actually, I have a thing.
Lori.
Yes. I would like to suggest that the board or the EPC consider spending a little time communicating with the public about vegetation. Oh, excuse me, I'm really reckless. Spend time communicating the hazardous vegetation inspections that are going to be coming out. Not the hazardous vegetation group, please. We used to get public notices every year, and we haven't been getting them, and it would be really helpful to get the word out.
And you're referring to the annual.
Annual inspections.
Okay.
We had a big, I think it's what they
Yeah.
used to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's no longer taken care of by the.
Yeah. How many of you should be notified?
You got one.
You got one?
Yeah.
Okay.
This
Oh,
year?
Did
Well, yeah. Not yet. Not yet, but last spring.
Okay. So who's
I
going
didn't
to do it
realize
last?
that.
Maybe they haven't
It
started.
used to be the fire department, and what we were hoping to do was
That's
send
what.
the word out in a friendlier way. Basically, let them know that these are, they're not being cited. They're
Yeah.
administrative situations.
Oh, they're. You mean they're not? They're. It's just protocol for our community, not
Right.
administrative
And
citation.
there's a lot of misunderstanding about it. So people
Oh.
think that, they're getting a ticket or something that's. And I think there's a positive spin that needs to be put on
I didn't realize people were interpreting
it.
that.
Well, I think sometimes the first time they hear about it is when suddenly they've got a citation
Yes.
and they're not in compliance.
They're not getting the notice that it's going to happen. I'm sorry, I'm a little confused.
Yeah, so there's at least traditionally, I've gotten a notice every year from
Right,
the
if there's
fire
going to be an
department.
inspection.
And there would be dates that you had to be in compliance by a certain date.
Are you saying that you don't think that's going to happen this year?
Well, I didn't get one last year, and apparently some people did.
Yeah, I even sent them to you.
Okay, yeah, Johnny put his
Okay.
hand up. Maybe he can shed a little light.
Excuse me.
So historically, like when I first got here, I used to get a notice from the department. Brenda used to send it to me saying that this notice for annual vegetation has gone in the mail and to have it posted to the community. So I used to get a letter in digital form to have it posted, and it stopped probably like 2 years ago, and it seemed to me that some people in the community were getting them in a targeted way. And I think I asked last year if there was a process that changed, if they were distributing these more on a targeted basis, or if they were still sending them out en masse to the entire community. And I didn't get clarification on that. So if we can get clarification from the department on how they're distributing or targeting certain regions for prioritization on this, that might be helpful to clear up the confusion.
Yeah, I agree.
And
Okay,
also
if I could.
there's some like a some sort of notice
Yeah.
about when you have to be in compliance. And
Mm-hmm.
it gives people at least 2 months
Yeah.
to get out there and do whatever they have
Yeah.
to do.
Mary?
Yeah. So I know
What's
the fire
that?
department has communicated to us when they would be doing it probably. In the next few months, I think it's a little bit early. I'm not positive exactly when they start, but I also do know that Brenda retired at the end of just this past year. So they're going to have a staff changeover. So, and I know that they've had staff changeover in the fire department personnel as well in the last few years. So we'll just ask that that kind of reinitiate, and that should be no problem.
Yeah, and then maybe we can also throw something in the Outlook too, just a reminder. Hey, yeah, and actually, before I thought they were doing just kind of rolling inspections, and so it wasn't that the community was targeted all at once. It was in general. I thought they were starting to do it yearly, but it sounds like we need clarification from the chief too.
Also, I think there are new regulations that are in effect that we're not aware of as residents, because unless you go to the El Cerrito website, and the last time I was there, they haven't changed anything.
Okay.
And I understand that there are new regulations like bushes in front of windows that might suddenly be cited if you didn't do it. So I think there's clarification on what the rules are, when they have to be completed, and then again, the positive spin that we can put on it is that this is what we need to do anyway. And
No, I agree with you.
not a citation thing.
It's going to be a very. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
I'm just wondering what the timing is of this. Like, when do the inspections happen?
I think they start March 1st.
March
In the spring, but they're probably rolling through, like,
So if we got something into the Outlook, we would have a deadline of February 10th to get it. Well, I think first thing you talk to the department about what they intend to do as far as disseminating the information that they've done annually, and then put an Outlook article as well.
Kate.
Well, Zone Zero will not be in effect at that point because the Board of Forestry is not getting together until March.
Oh,
And they
really?
haven't even decided because just briefly after the fires down Southern California, the people that are going to be building went back and said, no, we don't want to comply with Zone Zero, which seems crazy.
So that's okay. So basically, knowing that, it sounds like we need clarification from the administration. So, and we will get to that.
That's a different issue.
Yeah.
Annually, they go out and they look at the high-risk properties, but they don't apply a zone zero concept to it.
Yeah, right. No,
So,
they could.
it's not because it's not in regulation yet. They are looking at it from the perspective of the guidelines that El Cerrito uses
Well,
for.
we have our own regulations that require annual inspections. Kensington does because we have adopted what El Cerrito
We
does.
have adopted El Cerrito.
So that is, I agree, separate from that issue, but that issue is probably could change what happens in the future. So it
Exactly.
sounds like this is going to be a multiple month information campaign as things change. So staff knows, I think, what to do, and I think we need
Well,
to move on here.
as long as we don't confuse what's going on at the state level on these regulations, which are different than what has been done annually as far as the inspection of properties,
That's right.
which use a criteria that El Cerrito established, we adopted. So we should try to separate the two going forward until those regulations
Right,
come.
exactly. But that's what I was saying, that people thought that these Zone Zero were going to be implemented January 1st, but the Board of Forestry just kicked the can down. So it's there's a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
But yes, I understand what has happened here every year. I beg the fire department to come walk with me behind all the houses. I don't think the regulations are strong enough, but that's just me. So.
All right, now that we are all on the same page, and any last public comment? Or are we moving on? Did I see your hand up for public comment?
Yeah, I was interested in jurisdictional matters. I mean, I see fire safe signs up in yards now, but that I think is different from what you're involved with, which is
those are firewise
yes,
groups, which are localized.
Yeah,
So we're in all of Kensington.
I'm interested in doing whatever is reasonable and affordable to my property to make it more fire safe. And that's why I'm here. But I think if from a feedback perspective, I think greater clarity on who's got jurisdiction and how these groups are coordinating with one another, or are they not coordinating with one another, that would be a welcome addition to the communications plan if you
Got it.
have one.
Okay, that's good too. We should have you should ask some people in this room after the meeting to explain that to you because actually everyone has a really good handle
I
on
can
that.
also point to some documents and presentations that have been done in the last couple of
Thank
months, and I'll be incorporating some of that into a presentation I have today.
Awesome.
Oh, good.
Thank you. You're
I
welcome.
was just going to say that Fire Safe Kensington is getting organized to help homeowners with suggestions on
Yeah.
making those improvements, and we'll be advertising that as we get it organized in the next few months.
So you're involved with Fire Safe Kensington?
Ma'am,
everyone here
awesome.
is with maybe
No, sorry.
except you, except Jim.
No, we don't have.
And,
Oh, Firewise.
yeah,
Yeah. No.
so you have Firewise, but he's Fire Safe Kensington and Fire. Yeah,
We need a cheat sheet.
Well, I think you're bringing up a good point, which is I like a big picture, something that everybody can see. So I think I think we need to really figure out a good way to.
It
Maybe that sounds like another Outlook article, right?
was in your board packet last month or de in December. There was a flow chart that shows the inner coordination of the organizations with the breakdowns and the description and with how each are going to play a part. It was also in the presentation that I did last month about how FireSafe Kensington will leverage benefits to the community as a nonprofit in coordination with the community services district. So it all exists, and I can point you to it.
It's not for me, it's to push it out to the community. I mean, that's where the disconnect is.
Yeah, we have to.
I think part of that, and I can speak for Fire Safe Kensington, that we haven't done any promotion yet because we just started in September. So Firewise, which has taken off like a firestorm here, we're all Firewise leads in Fire Safe Kensington. That's where we started.
So who's Lori? Are you
I'm Lauren.
I'm Steve. I wrote to you
We've
yesterday.
been in communication. What's your last name?
Altman, Altman.
Well, now he's going to talk to he's going to be an
expert on
yes.
systems.
Oh.
I think you make a good point because there's the district which sets ordinances for implementation, and we have that authority. FireWise is really more of a voluntary program that has worked quite well. And then you have this new FireSafe Council, which I guess is intended to bring funding to bear and coordinate fuel reduction.
1C3,
Right.
so we can accept grants.
Right.
We
Exactly.
can say we can do things that the district can't do, and it consists
where the
of
firewises can't do.
that's right. So it consists of four board members. Three of them are here.
So there are these other organizations, like I
Right.
said, and there is the district,
It,
and the
yeah,
district is
Ellen should
the
be on Ellen.
enforcement entity, if you will.
So that's one of my chief concerns is, look, I'm ready, willing, and able to do as much as is reasonably possible to protect my own property, but I want to do it in a way that doesn't require a lot of rework due to changing requirements, and I want to do it in a way that will keep me clear of enforcement action. And I don't necessarily, I mean, there's this sort of gray area where, I've already taken steps to improve my hardscaping and to improve my vegetation,
Right.
but there are some steps that feel like a bridge too far for me from an aesthetic standpoint. And I hear all of this
Over
all Berkeley, all this mishigas, right? So
Yeah.
trying to chart a reasonable path that will steer clear of local regulations, which are still in flux.
Right.
We're putting
Hey,
into place
Rachel.
an ambassador
Rachel,
program.
can you give him my contact information and I can connect with him and point him in the right direction offline?
Course. You're Johnny.
Please. Yeah.
Okay.
That's perfect. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.
You were saying?
The ambassador program is
Mm-hmm.
designed to have a couple of people come over, walk with you around your property, and make suggestions and do exactly what you want to do. Is that
And Johnny will tell you,
okay?
he will get you,
Yeah.
he will bring you in the loop.
We got
Okay.
to keep this meeting on track. So we can take a
Gotcha.
lot of this offline.
Thank you for your time.
You got what you needed, which is good. Or you found the person who you needed to talk to. All right, so public comment, I think we're done. Let's move on to the adoption of the consent items. In this case, it's just the approval of minutes. Do I have a motion?
Let me ask a question. Where are the minutes?
Agenda.
I have the agenda, but I don't have any minutes on the agenda. Maybe I missed something. I'm
We're
sorry.
in the packet.
In the
The
packet?
packet is on the fire district site, not the paper.
Oh, this is
Correct. Yes.
And they're on page three in the
Merge,
packet.
yes.
All right. Thank you. These were
So,
on the fire district webpage?
yeah,
Yeah.
under where they normally are.
When I send out the email blast to everybody, it's in that.
Okay. I opened up the wrong channel.
Yes. Did you change your email address to the new?
What new? We don't have a new one
We do
yet.
not have new email addresses.
No.
Okay.
We
So I sent you an email this morning about.
I saw your
Okay.
English one. Yes, thank you.
I thought maybe you chat. And yeah, and actually, I got your email too. So I think you sent it out to all of us, right? You received.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Sorry.
The
Okay, so
packet. I
do
make a motion to approve.
you have a second?
Doesn't take long.
Sorry. No.
Okay, Spath and then Paul. All in favor?
Right.
All opposed? Okay, we're good. Adoption consent items. Check. For business, none, because we're just getting started. New business. Okay, so the big issue here is to. The big issue is to work on our work plan. I was thinking about actually switching it around and working on Annette's, but she still needs to be approved by the board to be part of our committee. There's no point in rushing you. Yeah. So our work plan is, I don't know if you guys have seen it. It is based largely on our work plan that we had last year. And basically what it is a set of goals or projects that we have want to pursue for the to either pursue or implement. We want to suggest to the board that we want to pursue these projects within the district. And so if you happen to have the work plan in front of you, basically it's items like the red flag parking pilot program, hazardous vegetation removal grants, LRADs, et cetera. So let's start by just going down with what we have, and then we'll try and get through this fairly timely. This one took a while, I remember last year. So item number one, red flag parking pilot program. Staff recommends changing the focus and so that the staff actually develop the ordinance and move that through the system. Have you guys looked at it? What are your thoughts about and actually basically this is for the committee, which is composed of four board members and then right now three public members. No, three public members, and then we will have up to one more public member. right? So up to seven. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, total of five.
Oh, yeah, total of five. Oh, we are going to five. Love that. Okay, so just so you know, so you'll hear the conversation, but basically when it comes down to the decision of or the committee to suggest to the board, it'll be those people.
Amanda has his
hope. Oh, go ahead. David, Amanda?
Yeah. Am I correct that you're looking at the list of different plans and you're talking about the red flag one?
Yeah, we just started with that one.
Okay. My comment based on conversations and emails that I've had with the fire chief, the police chief, some board members, some of members of the committee, is to have a workshop to get all the critical parties together, because I'm going to tell you that it appears to me that there's a number of varying thoughts on this, and we're not going to go anywhere without the input and sign off from the two chiefs.
And you're talking about the red flag, right? We're all on St. George. And actually, were you thinking of also of suggesting that for the LRADs too? Because I see the big gray spot for the LRADs.
Well, the LRAD to me shouldn't even be discussed because the board has put that on hold. So I don't know why that would even come up. But the red flag is very, very important and very critical to Kensington. But if we want to get some action done, we need to have the parties that essentially oversee the process and the keys to accomplishing a meaningful program. And part of those are the chiefs.
So, David, are you proposing a separate meeting with this committee and the chiefs? And
yes. Okay. Yeah. And any board members that want to attend, if we were to have a majority, we would agendize it as a meeting rather than as a committee meeting. But yeah, what I'm recommending is that we find a date that specifically the two chiefs are available, and then the parties in the room here. And there's already four board members that are representative on the EPC, so that might be sufficient, but there might be some other board members that would like to be part of that discussion as well. And then, of course, the public would be welcome, too.
I mean, personally, I think it would be better just having the committee, the board members who are on the committee could attend and listen in. And this would have to go to the board eventually anyways, correct?
Yeah, but my fear would be that the committee is going to spend a lot of time and maybe even formulate something. And based on what my conversations have been with the two chiefs, is they're not going to agree or not going to sign off, or they're going to have, I mean, I know they have other thoughts about it.
Well, but it, I mean, if we could come to an agreement with the two chiefs' input and they agree, that then we bring it to the board indicating that the chiefs agree with this proposal, and hopefully it would pass at the board level.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's what I would prefer.
May I make a comment?
Let's hear from committee first, and then we'll go to public comment.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the committee?
Yep. One of the reasons why I'm looking forward to being on this board is because for a long time, I have had some real concerns here about our emergency equipment being able to get to the ridge line, and particularly on streets like Purdue. And we could, in my opinion, this really falls under the category called emergency Preparedness Community Committee. So I would like to see this item number one expanded such that we can continue to look at the ability to widen out Purdue Avenue. You may recall that we discussed this probably a year ago now, and we even finally got, here I go with my name remembrance, our...
Joya came out. So our county representative, John Joya, came out.
John Joya. And the police chief and the fire chief. Mm-hmm. And we walked the area, and there was general agreement that we should continue to look at this. And then it stopped, and nothing much happened. I went on a trip to Europe. I believe that Johnny was going to possibly follow up with some emails to the people who live on Purdue and a couple of the other streets. But I don't think anything really came of that. And I strongly, as a person that drives Purdue probably twice a day and know how congested that can be, and it's getting worse now that you can drive all the way across the park again and people are coming using this as a crossover, that traffic is very, very congested. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that in an emergency and a fire truck is coming up and people are trying to get down, it isn't going to happen. There just isn't enough room. This should be a number one priority of ours. So, and I think it falls under emergency preparedness. So I would like to see this item number one expanded to include that. And this could fall into this category that we're talking about,
okay,
which is a subsequent meeting.
Okay.
I would like to limit it to the red flag issue, which is, that is the critical and high risk time in which you want to have fire facilities reaching the top of the hill and possibly fight a fire. I don't think on a routine basis there is a high risk of getting a fire truck or two up into Purdue or Grizzly Peak to fight a fire. I know it's somewhat congested, but we should talk to the chief about that, but I think it should be more focused on the red flag issue and how we want to control parking during red flag days as a starting point. Maybe this other issue of widening Purdue can come after that. But to me, this is the most important thing during red flag days, having not only Purdue, but Kenyon, Willamette, and Wellesley open so that you can get fire engine two up the hill as quickly as possible.
So my question is, you know, we talked about this last year, and there were different approaches happening on different levels and groups to kind of tackle it. And did the subcommittee for Red Flag actually come up with a plan or preferred, like, direction for what they wanted to do?
Not that I remember, but...
Well, we have to revisit what happened. So we initially were going to follow the El Cerrito plan, or the way they engage their public, by identifying three key streets in the community. And it was very difficult to establish only three priority streets within the community. So I had proposed pivoting from only choosing three streets to select a pilot to creating a survey that we can launch to any participating street if they choose to create a survey where we can derive from that information from the community on their level of engagement and willingness and the needs on a block level, which we did through the Willamette study, which was already happening as we started trying to identify three key streets. So Willamette was already in play as something was happening there. The fire chief had given a copy of the survey that was used for El Cerrito, and it was adapted to fit Willamette. So we basically piggybacked off of that, and from that came the red flag pilot parking pilot study for the Willamette Avenue, and that was published and presented to the board in July of 2025. So
Always
we
work
were
with.
it, so that was essentially where we completed that project and needed further direction on what to do with this information. So County Public Works requires this information to do anything. So it was both serving the community and engaging the community, but also providing input that would go to the board and the agencies and end up with Public Works as a document that needed to go there anyway. So it was serving two purposes. As it stands on this
Coming back soon.
first work plan,
We
as it
will be
looks,
back.
hello? Is there someone
It's one.
talking? Okay.
Oh,
So
Luna.
I think
Agreed.
bringing the agencies in, bringing the chiefs back into this conversation so that we're all on the same page, knowing that this was requested from Public Works to consider anything that goes to the board of directors. This was the deliverable that Public Works was looking for and asked for. And I think Danielle had told me when you had that walk around conversation with Monish, that they were asking for this. So this served both of those needs of engaging the public to find out what the existing conditions were and how we can establish what the needs are and how much effort it would be to remove cars on a particular street. And it was the document that needed to go through the process of governance to Public Works. So that cannot, unless something has changed, that can't be eliminated from this process if we're pursuing an ordinance for board of director approval to issue administrative citations.
I think it's important that we have this meeting with the chiefs and decide which is most critical with regard to bringing the police facilities, fire engine facilities up to fire department, because that's the most critical. What Johnny is talking about is evacuation during red flag days to enhance it by parking off the street to the extent feasible. That's a different issue. In my mind, what I think is important is the issue of having an access route from the fire station up the hill and how we achieve that during red flag days. I have my own opinion on that, but I think that should be the focus of the chiefs and the EPC to get together and understand from them how to make that happen and what ordinance that would have to be in place. We would have to go to the county to get approval to do that. So the county would have, the board of supervisors would have to agree and then give us the authority to write an ordinance to cover that area. I think what Johnny did on that survey was very good. It provided information. It provided, I didn't see any clarity associated with it because there are two issues. Can we make Willamette one way? There was no consensus on that. Can you require everybody to park off street? There wasn't consensus on that either. And to me, it just showed the difficulty of just that one street. And what wasn't even considered then is what is the overload associated with that? If people can't park on that street during red flag day, where do they park? That would have to be another factor in this. So my sense is let's focus with the chiefs on what's most important with regard to red flag day.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what the GM is telling us, that we need to hear from the chiefs before we can make progress on this. We think we all agree it's a very important issue.
Okay. Yeah, you had another.
Yeah, I think from the survey, if you really study the survey, you get a lot of information about what is going on that street. Now, it is my personal feeling that it is a people's personal responsibility to have a place to park their car. If their garage is filled with crap, how can we help them clean out their garage? Or how, if there are people on Willamette that have two car garages and can park two cars in their driveway and they don't have a car. So I think understanding what is going on each of these streets. Willamette is unusual because it's very hard to park because the driveways are too short. But I think if you do a deep dive into that survey, and we did it on other streets, it would really inform us as how we could proceed, what is possible. Now I said this to Johnny earlier in the day. Living on Purdue, where I could park 11 cars on top of it, coming from me, all flat. But I think in general that people need to really, they have gotten used to parking on the street, and they maybe don't think about parking on their own property. And I think we have to encourage that, and we have to figure out why they're not doing it, if they are not doing it, and how can we as a community help them.
I'm hearing a dovetailing of what you want and with in general just combining the removing cars so that evacuation is easier for red-flag days, removing or restricting parking, removing cars, so that is on red-flag days so that we can get engines up there. To me, the only difference in those goals are what streets you actually implement. So that's good. And so I think maybe I also like the idea of going through creating a special meeting with the chiefs and the stakeholders and us and the chiefs and our staff, and really kind of knocking through these issues, because in some cases the police can help enforce kind of getting cars off some of the corners where there's extra crowding, which does affect the route for evacuation and or engines cutting through. So it's a multi-layered issue that I think can be addressed by what the interim GM is saying. So let's keep this one on the items and as number one, and staff knows that we are interested in sending a special meeting with the chiefs and the EPC committee for public attendees to move us forward in that direction. Does that sound good, David? Oh, got it. One second. Go ahead.
Okay with this, but does this mean we're going to put it on the agenda for the forthcoming meeting? That we're going to set a time for this meeting? Otherwise, who knows when this meeting is going to take place?
Well, that needs to be planned. So our goal for this item is just to say, hey, do we want this as a goal for the year? And so that way we can take this back to our board and go, yes, we would. So the details will be, we can start working on it before our next EPC meeting, once the board approves the work plan. So the goal of today is not to go through in detail, even though I'm trying to do that, each work plan thing. The goal is to say, hey, does everyone want this to stay on the work plan? And it sounds like you do, and it sounds like we do. Yeah.
Yes, but I think you have to modify the work plan, the whole project. You can't leave that kind of wording there otherwise. Yeah, that needs to be changed. That can be done today.
Okay, Mary, do you have a suggestion for? For any updating of one, it sounds like we're good for one. And do you have anything else? Any
The updated wording for the first goal.
yeah.
So I think we'll start with we'll reword it based on what David suggested, but it'll be the staff is to work with the board on a workshop or meeting with the chiefs that we can then get everyone, a consensus on where to head with this.
Is this a
So
meeting with the board or is it a meeting with this committee, Mira?
As far as the workshop goes, it could be just with the committee and the chiefs. It depends because the board's going to approve this work plan, so they may have input on it, whether they'd like to expand that.
That's a good point. Okay.
So we'll have that wording and then the board can weigh in on it.
Anyway. Okay. Thank you. I get an open public comment. Go ahead.
Yes.
Just one comment about public input to this meeting. I don't know whether Lennox Road got put into this study. I don't know, and I need to look at this study. I'll admit I haven't. But it would be good maybe to have FireWise people come with suggestions. Lennox Road is a dangerous spot. If people park there, there's no way people are going to get out or fire trucks are going to get in. And as far as I know, nothing is being talked about for that. So I'd like to come and have the chance to provide that input. And I think all the FireWise groups might do that.
I think the way that the what's proposed right now is, yes, that's going to be
great. Thank you.
So look, well, look, if you keep coming, you'll know when the next step, okay. You'll be in the loop.
Okay.
Are we done for any other public comment for item one? I think we're done. Okay, then. Yeah. Keeping one with modifications to some of the verbiage. Number two, continue refining and expanding the hazardous vegetation removal reimbursement grant. Mary?
So on this one, we narrowed the scope of that to creating the two grant tiers, the small versus the large, that the board approved for the initial program for fiscal year 26-27. And so we are moving forward with that with a March 1st grant opening date. So that one's already in progress.
So basically that one is pre-approved pretty much by the board. So that will stay on there.
How much money?
Did we give them
I thought it was 80. I thought.
Okay. Yes. I think you're right. We did actually ask for it, but you'll see it come through as part of the budget, but I believe we did.
We're not being specific in this anyway.
Was it 80? No, it was just to fund the grant program.
Okay.
That's the end.
So 2,000 a grant?
All the information is available at kensingtonfire.org/grant. I'm just waiting for March 1st to turn on the applications, and the community will start getting notifications about this in the Outlook starting, I guess, next week when the Outlook is published for February. There's an article announcement going to be in that publication. Plus, it'll roll out in subsequent publications over the next couple months, digital publications through FireWise communities and through the Fireplug, which will be, it's already starting to get developed, and that'll go out in the end of March or the beginning of April. So you'll start seeing waves of information for this particular grant program, I guess, starting next week.
I'm probably having a senior moment as far as the board, but did we approve we approved the two tiers, right, Johnny? And you're going to initiate the program as far as March 1 is concerned?
Yes, the application period begins March 1st. That's when people can go to that website and start filling out their information. I mean, people can certainly get quotes now, but they can't fill out their application until March 1st. And then what's that?
When is the funding supposed to be made? Not until after July.
The new for fiscal year. So on the calendar program that I have the filing period closes May 31st. I'll wrap up all those applications and bring that to the subcommittee like we did the last two cycles within the period of time from that close to the next board meeting. So whoever we decide that's going to be on that subcommittee, I'm going to set a meeting as soon as that subcommittee is set and get on your calendars to have that meeting scheduled in that first week of June so I can present the applications to the general manager after that subcommittee meets. It'll go to the board in the beginning of June and they will approve whatever comes to them in that June meeting. And then that would authorize the work to be done, but reimbursements cannot happen until beginning of July.
Okay, so that essentially, are we all in favor of keeping the hazardous vegetation removal grant on our work list? Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's already been approved by the board, so it's got to be moved forward.
It's always
gives us some input.
Yeah, and that one's mostly because of the fact that the subcommittee will review the grant applications.
Right. Similar to the last, continue with the same program. Yeah.
Correct.
Which, I mean, we'll need to talk about that subcommittee and who's actually reviewing those grants.
Yes. Yeah. When do we do that?
I'm going to say, well, considering that we don't have choosing the subcommittees on this agenda.
So it can actually be part of this item, but I think I would focus on the goals first so that we get through those at this meeting. And if we need to do that, we could do the subcommittees next time.
Perfect.
Unless you...
No, that's perfect, Mary. Thank you. I like that idea. okay, let's see. So moving on to item number three. So actually, public comment for item two.
Can I actually ask that we do some sort of an assignment for one critical task, and that's the development of the KEEP program, which falls under item three, because I essentially need to start coordinating with the subcommittee today to keep that on track.
So I wonder if you, okay, so this one's kind of an odd one because we have it as a work plan goal, but we have it as a separate item to go over. So I think our discussion on the work plan goal could be kind of circular if we don't go through the item. So I don't know if Johnny, you'd be prepared to pivot to that item, or if you want to hold off on talking on the work plan goal until he gets to that item.
I can pivot to that when we get to that. Which is the next one, right?
Yeah.
It is the next one.
Think?
Yeah, what do we have after that? We have hazardous, firewise. Okay, I think we can get through. Okay, go ahead, Johnny. Let's do that. So basically what Johnny's gonna do is he's gonna kind of bring in his agenda item, which is 5B overview of Kensington Ember Exclusion Program, KEEP program pilot. So because it is related to work plan item three. So, Johnny, take it away.
Okay. I just want to touch on this one particular slide, if anyone's seeing their computers, but I wanted to pull into focus a project that happened with vegetation removal on two residences that are adjacent to each other. They removed all of the invasive ivy that was growing over their fence through one of our programs last year, and they replaced their wooden fence with a metal fence. To keep, you know, in alignment with wildfire risk, you know, reduction and privacy. So this was a really cool program that I wanted to make sure everyone kind of was aware of that this happened. And, you know, it turned out really nice. And it's something that those residents are really proud of. And that was a direct impact to a program that two residents did cooperate with each other over that engaged with this, the hazardous vegetation removal grant. So let me now get the other document up on screen. I can find it.
Johnny, did the residents pay for that fence that went up, or did that come out of
the fence was paid for by the residents. So, and here's another great thing is they shared information with me about what the product was and how they did it. And I gave that to FireSafe Kensington so that FireSafe Kensington can share that information to residents when they start asking for recommendations, because that can't necessarily come from the community services district. So again, we're leveraging this new network that we have of FireSafe Kensington to be able to share that information for the benefit of the community.
We want to get stories.
What was that, Lori?
We want to get stories like that. Success stories.
Mm-hmm. And there's more of those that are happening. So with this Kensington Ember Exclusion Program, which I'm calling KEEP, it will go beyond mesh in terms of scope, so that we're not just solely looking at mesh as an option here. But what we're really looking for right now is the mesh procurement. So for this program, right now, our scope is to procure ember-resistant exclusion mesh for qualifying Kensington residents to install over residential vent openings to reduce the risk of home ignition from wildfire embers. So it's very specific to what we're looking for this year is to procure the mesh for those openings over residential homes. And through this development of this program, we're looking to improve installation completion rates by offering residents a structured roadmap, which outlines the mesh installation options that they have available to the residents. So whether that's going, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. And another component of this is, like I keep saying, we're leveraging that partnership with FireSafe Kensington to share vendor and product information with residents that the KCSD, we as an agency cannot always say, oh, we recommend this product, or we recommend you contact this vendor that's a locally based vendor. So FireSafe Kensington allows, having FireSafe Kensington involved in the community allows us to have that information available to residents where they're asking for that information. So this next slide looks at the roles each of FireSafe Kensington Community Services District plays along with FireWise. And I want to note, and there's a note at the bottom that says all Kensington households have equal access to the program and equivalent direct outreach will be provided to non-FireWise residents. So I am constantly plugging the development of FireWise establishment, and I have two residents that had asked me about hazardous vegetation this week that those two residents came from two separate neighborhoods in the community that are not covered by FireWise. I'm working to set up a community meeting with them to bring their neighbors together so I can do a presentation and work toward FireWise establishment in those areas, just like I had done with all the other 21 communities in the community, FireWise communities in the community. So the outreach on this program will go to all residents, like all of our programs do. FireWise leads will just duplicate an email or communications within their FireWise community that we're already publishing from the Community Services District. So FireWise isn't necessarily getting special attention or early attention. They're just duplicating the outreach that we already have. And I'm constantly putting emphasis in those areas to establish FireWise communities where they're not existing in the remaining five or six areas or seven areas in the community. So I just wanted to clarify that. So the roles here are the Community Services District is funding the procurement of the material, and we develop and implement the program and the marketing materials, the public outreach and the messaging. And FireSafe Kensington, like I said, it helps to complement areas where they can provide information to the residents that we can't necessarily provide from the Community Services District, like recommendations for vendors to carry out some work. So for public awareness and the campaign program information, I would like to see coordinated messaging between the Community Services District and FISC to go out in printed material. So that ideally that would be like a co-branded campaign. And that information will then go to the Kensington residents electronically, like we usually do. And FireWise community leads will then duplicate that information or repeat or echo that information within their FireWise communities as they see it coming through our established channels, like our email distribution list through the district, or the social media, or posted on the website. And then through print publication, we have the Kensington Outlook, the Spring Fire Plug presentation, which will be in the end of March, early April, and then the KCSD quarterly newsletter that goes out with the bill. So that's kind of how it will encompass all the print and digital communications within the community. Any questions so far?
Yes, Jim has a question.
Johnny, we approved a $15,000 for this project. And can you explain to me, what is that $15,000 going to be used for? Before you do that, let me ask. It was my understanding that you were going to use that too on some pilot programs to actually put some mesh up on some homes. Now, I don't know if that included just the mesh or it included putting the mesh on the home. But if you would explain to me what the 15,000, if the 15,000 includes people actually getting some mesh to put on their homes.
$15,000 is intended for material only. And
So it's so
I can show you the
I'm sorry,
roadmap
Johnny.
here, and
Johnny,
this
I'm
will
sorry.
make
I didn't hear that answer. The 15,000 is what?
material.
It's material
Material
only.
only.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah,
And
material only. So,
material means mesh, does it not?
Yes.
yes.
So you might spend upwards of $15,000 acquiring some mesh.
Yeah.
Am
Yeah,
I?
that was what the district approved was for mesh procurement, like just the mesh.
And a person that would like to, I've already meshed the openings on my home. A person that would like to do that, how do they do that? Do they, because each hole, each opening requires a different size of mesh. It kind of has to be tailor-made for that particular.
You've got engaged professional, volunteer assistance, or self-installation.
Well, I understand that, but I think we're probably ahead of ourselves. Remember, before this started, we had a subcommittee that had done a great deal of work on the mesh program and came forward with some recommendations, as I recall. And now we seem to be jumping ahead of ourselves on that. Personally, I would like to see that subcommittee or members of it and others be brought together with Johnny to come up with the criteria that you would then apply to this program, answering some of the questions that you would have,
That sounds like a good idea.
and so forth. So, yeah, I appreciate the diagrams here, but I think we're maybe one step ahead of ourselves on this.
Johnny?
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Can I get through the rest of the slides, please?
Oh, I didn't realize you weren't done yet. Okay. Noted. Continue.
So one of the inner like one of the main observations that I've had with this in the community, because people do ask me, they have questions, they want to be able to do this, but they don't have a roadmap. So really what this program is providing them the roadmap to complete the project. So if the district is procuring the material, we have to figure out how much material to procure. So they would submit an application of the measurements needed for their household. We would procure the materials for however many people that we can take on. If the limit is 15,000 and we get 13,000, I guess we'll take them all. If we have to fit in some kind of criteria, first come, first serve, then that's something that we have to build into the expectations. So, or if there's something that happens, like we did with the vegetation grant, where we started at 10,000 and then we exceeded we exceeded that by having, quite a bit of demand for that, and the board then raised the threshold to 100,000. That would be up to the board to decide with the amount of enthusiasm that we get from this initial run. So the district will fund for the material, and the community, well, we receive the material. The resident has installation options. They're going to engage a professional. They're either going to do it themselves, or they're going to find a volunteer to help them with it. The district is not engaging in the installation of this. The district is only procuring the material. So if the residents are applying for this, I know exactly who they are, where they live. That gives me a lot of metrics for follow-up and reporting. So I'll understand how effective the program was and where the coverage will be. And that won't be shared on a dot map, but I will find a creative way to demonstrate the effectiveness and the protection of this investment that the district is making on the material. But we have to create a roadmap that makes it easier for the residents to understand the importance of doing this. Where to install it, or how to get resources to get it installed, whether they're going to hire someone, well, then that's something that they need to engage with FireSafe Kensington to get recommendations. So the residents are actually looking for this information. Residents are looking for the material, they don't know where to find it. Through this roadmap, we're plugging in that information so that we can get success through this roadmap without engaging the district in the actual installation part of it. Because it's just providing that roadmap for the residents to increase the success of finishing this project while producing or procuring the mesh for the residents, and that's what was approved. It's much like the hazardous vegetation grant. We gave them a roadmap where we funded the labor on that, and we gave them a roadmap of how to do it. We told them, engage a contractor, submit your application. We approved their labor, which in this case, it would be the approval of funding the material. But in this case, we are not funding the labor. They have to figure out that portion in this pilot program. So it's just a roadmap, really.
Okay, before you continue, I just want to make sure that I'm understanding. Basically, what you're doing is you are creating the overarching program that takes into account all the research that was done by the subcommittee. And so that way, all of the best practice, best materials, issues that were of concern in terms of 16th inch, 18th inch, 18th inch, the subcommittee will still have input into that. But pretty
yes.
much, we're just what you're telling us now, what you're giving us is the structure of implementation for which will house all of the information that the House Hardening Subcommittee looked up and brought together.
Right. It's essentially a template that can be used. I mean, if we wanted to do windows or if we wanted to do siding, it could essentially be a template that gives the resident, empowers the resident to make the decisions along the way. And if we're funding a certain aspect of it, we have that constraint in there, which I'll talk about some of these components later of the policies or whatever, the verbiage in there of how to put some guardrails on it. But I also want to go over this timeline because it is a critical path. Essentially today is, January 22nd, 22nd is the first look that we have. And we're basically in the program development, and I would like to get subcommittee involvement starting, scheduling that meeting starting today, so that way I can get chipping away at this and provide the EP committee a review of more structure on this at next month's meeting. So even though that's a month away, it hardly gives me any time at all. So we have to get really plugging away at this immediately and then bring it back to the KCSD board March 12th for final approval or review or consideration or whatever it is. But then it would move on March 12th into campaign mode for publication in the fire plug to go out on April 1st, mailed out to every home, social media, email distribution to get the application filled out starting April 1st. The application portal closes the same day as the hazardous vegetation removal grant on May 31st. So essentially we're kind of like a month behind the vegetation grant. So that's why I kind of wanted to push this along to make sure that we can get this done this year, because it does impact the printing and publication of other things that are happening in the community. So otherwise we're going to have to create a whole new publication to go out. And it just makes sense to align this with all the wildfire resiliency stuff that's being published and distributed to the community in April. And likely, if this is the same, if this is the schedule that we're locked in and we go by this, then we go into procurement in this phase from May 31st to June 11th. I'm compiling that information to present to the board. And then we order materials after that board meeting. And sometime in this period, we get the materials and then distribute it to the community starting July 1st. And then I can help oversee how that's going from July 1st to August 31st would be a target installation deadline. And then I can start doing reporting after that point. And summaries and articles and what have you after that point, and continued, following up with people that have not done their installation yet, and seeing what type of obstacles they're encountering, because that's really valuable information, is knowing what type of situations are happening out there that we can't foresee, and how do we refine this program for the next iteration.
All right, we're done. No, there's three more slides.
First of all, I mean, you want to, I would suggest you either constitute that subcommittee so that you meet with Johnny before the next meeting.
Yeah. Yep, that's what he suggested. Is
right, but to do that, we could do that right now. At
yeah,
school.
we can do that.
I think that would be advisable. So.
And Johnny has a lot more about this program that he ha definitely has slides for, but let's get this. If you don't mind, Johnny, let's just get the subcommittee set up, and then you can start. You can unify and move forward. Does that work? And then that's a lot of this stuff we can bring back to.
Yeah, that works for me. Perfect.
Okay. So basically, first, I'm just gonna say we're keeping development from a house hardening to citizens as an item. Is that a yes from the EPC? Yes, yes. Is that a no? No's. Are there any no's? Okay, no no's. So good. Item three stays. Now, given that there is a potential programmatic plan that needs to be addressed immediately, we need to establish a subcommittee now. And is there are do I have volunteers who want to be on it? Oh yeah. Okay. And then not yet, but yes, obviously. Well, actually, I can't say that yet because we haven't discussed your thing. But you know what I mean. Jim, did you want to be on that? Okay. Oh, and actually, how many do we have in the subcommittee? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. So I can't we can't have more than three people on it. So right now, Kay, in the future, hopefully, and you, Jim, you want to be on it? Okay. No? Okay. Why don't we?
You want to be on it again?
Well, I'm gonna leave room for you.
That's
So, and I'll leave you. So, all right. So, Johnny, you have your subcommittee. Please include Annette, even though technically she's not on the EPC yet.
You said it was Kay, Jim, and Annette.
Yep.
Okay.
Sweet.
And Danielle, can I just jump in for a
Mary.
second?
Hold on, I can't hear you. Hold on.
Yeah.
I can't.
Mary's trying to talk.
Go ahead.
Sorry. So I kind of wanted to go over this chart a little bit because I think it's I probably made it confusing. But what I have on the left, the 2025 goals, work plan projects. So in the column, the third column over the work plan project goal for 26. So that's kind of the updated wording that we would be using. So it's more focused, the secure the $15,000 board approved funding and develop the KEEP program. So that would be the goal for 2026 program project that you'd be looking at.
I'm sorry.
So basically, she's saying the 2025 side is going to that verbiage is not going to be used anymore, and instead, it's going to be item one is staff to develop versus the 2025 work plan
No, but
goals.
I'm looking at the item we're talking about, which is we've already approved the 15,000, so that's already been done. So is there an addition to the work plan then that is developing the criteria for funding for implementing this program?
Yeah, so the first part of the secure $15,000 that was approved, the funding, but now it's develop Kensington Ember Exclusion Keep pilot program.
Right.
That's the
So
next part. Yeah.
that would be added to this work plan now.
Yeah, so it's actually the third column, the way that it's worded on the 2026 work plan
Right.
goal project, that's how it's worded.
Right. The securing of the money is, so you would add to that action item the development of the criteria.
Well, that's what developing the program is.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's the full program.
You've incorporated into the developing the key
Yeah,
program.
that,
That's
yeah,
all
that's
it
going to be
is.
all of that. It's the
I
full
do kind
program.
of miss our overall like health hardening
I mean,
vegetation grants.
if we're talking about a
Well,
goal
this is
here.
where we get it a little more focused so that we can actually, I mean, some of those things, it's really difficult to get something done when it's so broad. So we've tried to really narrow the focus so that we can get some things accomplished and really help with, you know, staff priorities as well.
So what you're saying is the 2025 goal carries over into 26.
As the new wording. So what the first column, the 25, so in the second column, I put what the revision was. So it's defining the scope further, which is then the wording in 26, which is
This.
secure the board approved funding, develop the KEEP pilot program, which includes the criteria, everything. It just keeps it
Okay.
all within that.
Right. Thank
So
you.
I just wanted to point that out.
What?
No, that says too much, man.
Anybody else? Thoughts? No? No? All right. Well, I said my piece. I do like I like having the drilled down goal there for sure. I just like an overall, maybe just like a general, like a
KEEP does allow for that.
category. What?
KEEP really does allow for that because
Yeah.
it's Ember Exclusion Program, which is home hardening, encompassing all these other things. This year, what we're really just focusing on is just the mesh distribution part of it. But mesh distribution lies under KEEP, which will focus on other aspects.
No, I get
It
that.
is very, it will be very broad.
No, I agree that I see how it does that. I just like the general
A
as
column that would say what category each of these things falls into.
Yeah, what
That
category?
would be helpful.
Like just
Okay.
house or home hardening.
You could add a category.
Red flag, just as a broad. I
There
mean,
could be more than one thing in each of those categories. It doesn't seem to be, but there could be.
Correct, but then we're not focusing on those this year
Right.
because we already have the actual things. But I do like the over just because some people, when they read things, they just read home hardening. All right, well, there's a program there, blah. Red flag parking, blah, blah, blah. You know, I want this to be like, I think keywords are important just to, so that we get like one or two words that describe it. But the work plan and goal and project is what you have in the 2026. That's where that's going to look. All right. So basically, we are. So how does the committee feel about, well, keeping or adjusting item three for the KEEP pilot program? Are we going to? I mean, it's already recommended to the board. Our board has already approved the money for it, but and we already have subcommittees, so we're there. Sorry,
Yeah,
my brain went too far back. Sorry about that. Okay, but we're done with three, four. Address hazard. So 2025 was the address hazard specification on a fire evacuation routes. Mary is suggesting that we define the scope, and then she is suggesting we increase the coordination and awareness of vegetation removal program through FireWise leads, block presentations, and fire prevention officer inspections. And those fire prevention officer inspections, those are in part of them are the yearly inspections, but I guess they're also going to be the new ones too. So Mary, want to give us an idea of what you mean there?
So I think Johnny can probably speak to this a little bit more, but after, we had talked about the hazardous vegetation on the fire evacuation routes, but in talking with the fire chief, a lot of that land is county land. So we're kind of limited in what we can do. So Johnny helped to look at further how we could coordinate and take a look through FireWise groups. So Johnny, do you have anything to add on this one?
Yeah, and if we use a really good example like Sunset, going down from the Arlington down to the gates of the cemetery as an example, the FireWise community there is very keen on wanting to remove cars from that street and hazardous vegetation. So if we're looking to have the fire department target certain areas, just as an example from that block, from the Arlington down to the gates. If the fire department is going through those areas and identifying potential areas that we can mitigate in partnership with the residents, and they can make those stops to those residents and just point them over to the programs that we have available to encourage the removal, or if they have other means of doing it, it's just a matter of connecting all the dots, right? If the fire department is out there making these connections, and if there's an opportunity to sell products or programs to them to entice the residents to, for action, then that's a good opportunity. So that's where the coordination aspect happens.
Comment.
I just wanted to, Mary, when you talked to the fire chief, was the inspections going to involve a lot of those trees that are overhanging Sunset? Would they require those to be pruned back as part of that program, or they don't have the authority to do that?
We didn't talk about that in detail, but I'm certain that we'll probably get into that in the next few months.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when Chase Beckman came and did our assessment for our FireWise group, he said they inspect the kind of halo around the roads and make sure that they're limbed up to allow for fire trucks. So I'm assuming it's part of the inspection. And if a particular home has a tree that overhangs a major thoroughfare, that would be cited as well. I can't speak to it
Yeah.
in terms of the checklist that he uses, but when he was doing the assessment, he was very clear that he gave the dimensions.
Okay, that's
That should
good
be
to know.
clear. Because I
Well,
wasn't quite sure
it would
about
be useful to clarify that because that's not what they have done in the past. I mean, if you remember what's come before your board,
Yeah.
it has not been those types of activities. What is that?
Yeah, and myself, Elisa Corona, and Rodney were on this subcommittee, and there were certain things that and pathways that we were able to kind of focus and pursue with our staff to kind of address some things if the fire if they were built. But the whole point is we can get into that next month. It sounds like we want to keep this on the task on our work plan. Is that a yes? Shit. Awesome. Any no's?
David has his hand up.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead.
I wholeheartedly support continue to move forward, but my recommendation would be for me to also contact the supervisor's office and attempt to get his buy-in on vegetation growth that is on county right-of-ways. And see how we might work together in conjunction with what Johnny's saying in getting this taken care of as quickly as possible.
And so, to your point, that was the avenue essentially we were told to pursue. Basically, John Joya said to me, and it might have been that same meeting, pretty much if our fire chief or fire marshal approaches him in the county and says, hey, we need this taken care of, then it gets done. So exactly what you said is what we were told to do. So basically, we just need to, I think we should probably, we'll work on. How about who wants to be on the subcommittee?
So, Danielle, are you saying that what really needs to be the next step is identifying the areas so that we can get a sign off from the chief and an official request on his part to work with the county?
Yes, and that's what we were starting to do last year. And then
I feel like we've already made a fair amount of progress.
We have made a good deal of progress. Some the county did take care of some things by the end of the year, but there's still more that needs to be done. So basically, we're probably start that process all over again, starting this new year. So that's
okay.
That's perfect. Rodney? Oh, yeah. Okay. So subcommittee.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying I'm happy to continue my work.
Okay. Subcommittee. Anybody else?
I would be willing to, but I'm not allowed. I don't know.
Oh, not for the, on the EPC, but if you come to our meetings, then you can do your input on these work plan when the subcommittees start talking about
them. And am I correct that Bill participate is aren't like official voting member.
He's been doing a lot of work, and he'd be a good resource.
Yeah. So he's been working.
That'd be very welcome.
If you also wanted to sign up for the EPC committee and become a member, then definitely. I raise your hand there. Okay. So basically, we're a yes for keeping this, and like I said, so Candy, real quick, if anyone is interested, raise your hand. I'll do it again. Anybody?
Well, I'm interested, but I'm overcommitted already.
I hear you.
Interested in all these committees.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it too.
Okay, that's fine.
Because we've already done a lot of them.
You got to keep me on track, though.
And okay. And use him also.
Yeah, we will find you. Excellent. Okay, so subcommittee, you have that, myself and Director Paul. Okay, moving on.
Did you have any other comments?
We're on number five. Okay, Firewise Development to support block party organizations. Mary has suggested we shift focus to supporting Firewise leadership development and resident participation in Kensington Firewise strategic plan objectives. Mary, and actually, sounds like Johnny needs to give us insight on this refocused.
Yeah, cool. Let me just say first. You know, we had the Firewise development last year, and Johnny's done a spectacular job in developing Firewise groups. We have so many now that the leadership development aspect comes into play. So take it over, Johnny.
Cool. Thank you. All right. Just to recap,
yeah.
People have been seeing and noticing these signs going up everywhere in the community. I know it was just mentioned in this community as well, mm-hmm. in this meeting as well. But yes, we have 20 recognized by the NFPA. We have 21 formed. Academic Hill, which is Stanford and Yale. Was it Stanford? Yeah, it's Stanford and Yale. It's here in the center. They have filed their application. Cal Fire has approved it, but it's pending the NFPA. So we're just waiting for the final approval on that. Then we'll have 21 fully recognized. So just wanted to clarify that. But yes, a lot has happened. This week we had a Firewise lead mixer potluck at the community center. It was a lot of really great food. And I created binders for each of the Firewise areas. In those binders has really important information to help move our programming and their understanding to how to navigate the community and its resources. And, you know, just leveraging the leads as an ambassador, copycat of the emergency preparedness committee or a coordinator on the local level. So they have binders which will be built out with important information. They can stick our programs in there. They can put, you know, important documents in there that's helpful for them on the local level. And this is an active campaign right now, is the distribution of the door hangers. So the door hangers is intended to inform residents about their FireWise name, because it's important for each of the FireWise households to know which FireWise community they're in. So this campaign is to inform those residents that they are in a FireWise community and which one they are in. And it goes to this this webpage, which FireSafe Kensington is helping to host this page for the FireWise communities. So on this page is all of the recognized FireWise communities for the residents to visit this page to pull down their certificate of recognition for the certificate of recognition to go to the insurance companies. That was a very important step, mm-hmm. because there was such concern about people losing their insurance coverage. And that's why there was such a strong push to get as many FireWise communities established last year. And I did speak to all the resident leads about this, that we're going to get them established and then start slowly bringing their capabilities to organize and communicate and you know, and build out the FireWise communities from the leadership standpoint. And we're already starting to do that now. So yeah, there's a lot happening there. They're getting the resources and support from me as a coordinator. And there's a lot of touch points there, and there's a lot of interaction that's happening between the FireWise leads, which is really great. And we have a lot of the FireWise leads and FireSafe Kensington attended a 2-day course from Cal Fire in defensible space and home hardening. So they're going to get certified for attending this class. So there were 12. Kay is not in this, but she should have been in this picture, but you know, we'll get you in the next one. But yeah, it was a 2-day course that Cal Fire put together.
I left.
Sorry. I was going to Photoshop you in.
Oh, please do. Make me taller.
So yeah, this was a really a great opportunity to have Fire Kensington represented along with the other regional partners. Alameda County was there. Alameda County Fire and Berkeley. El Cerrito, Diablo Fire Safe, West County, Contra Costa County was there as well. So we did dominate the room. I think we were half of the class was just Kensington. So this was going to bring a really critical resource of information to the community. One of the FireWise communities leads, David Tuft, he developed this survey and he shared it with the FireWise leads, and he old information from his FireWise community residents through this survey, and he got a lot of really good information. He presented it to me, which I think is going to be a really good tool to understand the levels of engagement in the community and what people are willing to do as far as funding projects, what type of projects they're willing to tackle on their homes, what things that they're interested in, what type of emergency preparedness related activities that they would want to help, and things that they want to learn more about. So I'll send you all the recap of that, a summary of his findings that he shared from this survey. And I think it's really important to look through that and to understand what's being developed on the FireWise level within the community and what can be shared across that can help in decision making and engagement across the community overall in as far as when we're developing programs and launching programs. FireSafe Kensington they're developing a presentation to be determined with the date, but I think it's either going to be April. I think it's going to be April. So this is in development and this will be included in publications and notices to the community, but they're going to have a presentation to focus on home insurance at the library. Yeah. Is it May? And I spelled Kensington wrong in here too. Okay, so that will be developed. FireSafe Kensington is also developing a mapping program to map eucalyptus, and this will be really critical in knowing where the risks are, and that could potentially feed into larger grants that are being earmarked from the state level and the county level. So this is a really good opportunity to understand the risks as far as eucalyptus, and FireSafe Kensington is spearheading that. And you can see here, this was one of the ambassador development walks that FireSafe Kensington is doing. They're developing an ambassador program, and this is the level of excitement and engagement with understanding the information related to home hardening and doing assessments. And they'll develop a program that can do individual home assessments, which is extremely valuable and relevant to the residents. The residents want this, and FireSafe Kensington is developing this program to serve the community and to kind of help provide information that will accelerate the wildfire mitigation, risk mitigation in the community. And yeah, so that's all in that category
Excellent.
of
Okay.
FireWise development.
Thank you. Thank you for that update.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And thank you again. I mean, we have come so far because of you, Johnny, and it's amazing what you have been able to create, this underbelly of awesomeness. So do I have that? We can do a subcommittee for this real quick. Anybody interested in the subcommittee for this item? Well, first of all, are we all in agreement that this item should stay on the 2026 work plan? All in favor? Aye. All opposed? FireWise, keeping FireWise on the work plan? Good. All right. So we're good for that. And then subcommittee, up to three? Interested? No. Okay,
Lisa, it's perfect that I do that.
Okay, sounds good to me. Okay, no?
You first.
Anybody else? Anybody else?
We don't know. Katie would be want to be on it.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So right now we will not pick the subcommittee. How about that? Okay. I've got to get us through because we still have Annette, and we're gonna get through this. The next one is LRAT. So let's talk about this.
So, with the LRADs, we did discuss this with the board months ago, and their preference was to talk about LRADs as a component of a district strategic plan. So, there's really no point in the committee doing work on this until the board gets all on the same page as far as how to proceed.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, okay. Mary, can you elaborate a little bit more? Because yeah, are you talking about the fire board or the KCSD?
The whole KCSD. So we talked about it months ago, and I maybe it was our first meeting. I can't remember exactly which month, but the full KCSD board talked about this and the fact that it was on the work plan, and they determined that it should be discussed as part of a strategic plan, which the board will likely proceed with development of once a full-time general manager is hired. So once the board talks about how they want to, if they want to discuss, look at how they want to proceed with LRADs, it really isn't something that the committee should be working on, because the board should decide if effort should be placed there or not, because it's staff resources too.
Go ahead, Paul.
I heard earlier, I think David said that this was removed or should be removed from the plan. I don't understand that at all. This is a future thing. I mean, just maybe this, there isn't really too much we can do now, but a strategic plan or whatever, somebody needs to be assigned to keep abreast of this. Talk to Berkeley, who is in the process of testing those things. Stay up on the technology that's being used, rather than do what we've already done twice before, which I find personally really annoying, which is not do anything for a year and then all of a sudden try to find out and somebody takes over. Katie Gluck did a really good job of looking into it, but it's a little bit old now. David gave a presentation and it was well received, but that's as far as it went. somebody needs to, I don't care who it is, or if it's a board member or from this committee, somebody needs to follow up on this, stay with this. And I mean tight, because it's, I think, of the future. I mean, there are reasons that other communities all over, Marin, Berkeley, and so forth, are implementing this stuff. Mm-hmm. So do we want to find ourselves again another decade behind everybody else? I don't.
Yeah. But maybe Katie.
So maybe it doesn't need to be on this work plan, but I think somehow somebody has to personally take responsibility for staying on top of this.
Okay. I was just, you know, if Katie's already done work on it, maybe she would be the most appropriate person to continue it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. I also think that this should stay on our work plan. I think actually it would be helpful for the board to know how much we have done, even if we have to regurgitate it and update the presentation. It is important enough that the board stay abreast of why it should be in a strategic plan. And that requires legwork on our part, which has been done, but can be updated and improved. And I'm definitely, even though I think there's still work to be done for this item, even though it's not something staff oriented, it's something that we want to make sure that the board has all of the information and it stays in their sphere of attention, because I happen to agree all rats are very, very important as well. So let's take a vote. Does the EPC approve removing this from our work plan for the 2026 in favor? Opposed? No. All of us. Everyone voting here says
persuaded me.
So we'll leave it. That's up to you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. And thank you, people.
Should we bring this back to the board then, Mary? Since I mean, I don't recall that the board tabled this into the plan, but
so yeah, I actually think it was when my board, our August or September meeting, I can't remember which one, but we talked about it specifically.
Yes, I remember that. I can have basically that yeah. What we did was we said, okay, part of the LRAD issue needs to incorporate police because they're they are responsible for initiating evacuation. And so let's move LRAD to, let's put it on hold until we consolidate the district. So that's kind of how I remember. We're consolidated. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can also do like a special meeting with the chiefs too, because I know they have opinions on it as well, and that's whom we should also be considering. Okay. Anybody else? A public comment on that one? No? Okay. Let's see. Moving on. Actually, going back to LRAD real quick, I can be on that subcommittee. And I'm pretty sure I can volunteer Katie to be on that subcommittee. Mm-hmm. And
well, I can share all the information that I generated for the presentation. I can stay with the subcommittee.
Do you want to be on this? I'm sorry. Okay. Let's pass on the subcommittee.
Can I? I just mentioned that Katie and David both had given presentations. I forgot. I don't know how I forgot this. The chief did, and he didn't say, "I'm giving a presentation on something I don't support." And that was about a year ago, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't long
ago.
He did.
He actually gave us a presentation here at an EPC meeting, and I think he also gave it to the board.
That's why we shouldn't take it off the table.
So, all right. So last item, and then we have to move it because we're at 5:40 and. Evacuation drills, guidelines of communication. Mary has suggested that we define this further, and she's suggesting reinforce communities understanding of the Red Flag Day banners and improve the community's understanding of watch duty to promote early pre-evacuation. Mary and or Johnny?
That's going to be Johnny.
Okay. So Oh, am I muted? No, I'm not muted. Okay.
No, I can hear
So
you.
we have an existing framework of communication education that we developed for Red Flag Ready Fest, which went out, and this has not gone out in wide distribution yet to the community because I needed to wait for us to rebrand all the materials. So this was a limited print and distribution, but it's already ready to go. So we have watch duty information on the back of that one publication, which can be reformatted to be in the new wildfire preparedness workbook, and all this information regarding the stuff about the banners. So the component that we have to create for the banners is the distribution plan, the placement plan. We already have the banners ordered and in place. They're stored, I think they're stored in the community center right now. It's just we need to create the plan of when there's a red flag day to put these into the community physically. So that is a plan that we have to develop this year before fall.
Before fall. Everybody
Yes.
has fall. Opening the floor.
I personally think that I am supportive of all of these other six, but frankly, I'm not suggesting you do this physically, but I've always said I think evacuation is the most important thing that we can get involved with because that saves lives. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saving homes. I like my home. I've said it before, but I like my ass much more. And I want to save it. And I want to, I'm quite serious about this for reasons that Jim brought up and other things about the streets and so forth. A lot of this isn't going to happen tomorrow, but pre-evacuation and being aware is a big deal. You're not going to remove trees from Sunset tomorrow. You're not going to widen Purdue. That we have to, at least for the time being, deal with what we have. And what we have is a mess. I mean, Jim talked about Purdue things. So somehow people have to understand evacuation is a big deal and be prepared. And nothing makes me more angry about this kind of thing than when I go to what's a national night out and someone says, well, where do we go or when do we know what to go? Start taking care of yourself, And Berkeley is doing a good job of this. They're really telling people about pre-evacuation from the Hills area, anyway, minimally. They're making a big deal out of it, and I don't blame them. And people better take it seriously. And I must admit, and I've said it before, so I'm not going to retract it now. I think the Kensington public needs to really be pushed. We are not a big, super active community that way. Let's just face it, okay? It's obvious to me in so many respects. Okay, so we can deal with it, so we get in their faces and get more public notice out there and point all of this out. And another thing that I just will mention briefly because I don't want to get too much into it, I have a big thing now about the safety plan and evacuation of the Kensington Elementary School. I mean, to me, that is a big deal. And if you read the plan that's in place, there are some questions about it, and they're serious.
Go ahead.
So I agree with you, Paul. To me, it's all about communication. The idea that we would have a drill where people voluntarily participate in a giant traffic jam, to me, it's a waste of time.
I agree. I've said that all along.
But communicating and trying to, people are going to have to take responsibility for themselves, but it's our responsibility to just make sure that they're hearing from us. The gravity of the situation.
Well, I would also want to continue to emphasize the need to sign up for the CWS, Community Warning Systems, excuse me, acronym issue again, and also Nixle as well. And there are new residents coming in all the time, and they're probably not familiar with that. So I would emphasize that also going forward. So, to do. Two items and the pre-evacuation, promoting the pre-evacuation.
Generally, I'm going to say it sounds like there's like enthusiasm for keeping us on the work plan. So I'm just going to do a quick all in favor. All opposed? No? Okay, good. On the plan, quick comments because I've got to move to something.
Just quickly, I wanted to say if it could be added, I think we should start paying attention to the extreme weather days and informing people about those. Berkeley's done a great job, but it's kind of a little bit of frosting that I think would help. And think people need to understand that.
Yeah, and there's definitely more clarification needed on the difference between Berkeley and our stuff, and wholeheartedly. Yeah.
Could we add earthquake later?
Oh, no. Actually, you're right. We need to. Okay, we're done with number seven. Our interim general manager, and I heartily agree of adding one more, and that would be a focus on earthquake preparedness. That would be work plan goal project number eight.
Now the time to discuss it, though.
No, I'm just we can discuss it if everyone. Well, I can take a quick.
I agree, but I think now it's not time to discuss it.
Agreed. So, all in favor of adding a work plan goal eight for earthquake preparedness?
Okay.
All right. Anyone against that? No. Okay. Good. We have eight work plan goals projects for 2026. Thank you so much, everyone.
Need a motion for this?
Mary? Do we want a motion?
You went through all of them. So if we're planning to, so will we want to take this to the board then on the February 12th meeting?
Yes.
Are you ready for that?
I do think that some of our items need a bit more finesse in terms of their project, but in terms of the general eight, I think that's how you need to go.
Okay. Yeah, because you can refine it as you go along. So at least that way the board has the work plan as to what the items will be for 2026 if they approve it next month. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. I think you should make a motion to forward it to the board for approval.
Did we adopt the Emergency Preparedness Committee work plan and forward it to the board for discussion?
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All in favor? All opposed? Crickets. We're done. Thank you, everyone. Okay, now that is done. New business. We kind of addressed 5B when we were talking about 5A. So I'm going to move on unless Johnny has something really quick.
I don't have anything further.
One. Okay, thank you. Okay, 5B, check. Final item is review any new applications for the EPC public membership. We have, I saw one. That didn't change, did it?
Yep.
Okay. Basically, we, Annette McCougary, would like to be considered for a position for a public seat on our Emergency Preparedness Committee, and she has submitted her application. Mary, did you want to say anything else before we move forward in discussion?
The only thing that David asked me a question on, and I didn't have an answer for him, was the fact that I know Annette's on FireSafe Kensington. I don't know that there's any coordination issue or any kind of conflict there being on the two different groups. I'm not sure exactly what FireSafe Kensington in detail is up to, so I don't know if that would cause any kind of conflict. So I just wanted to point that out for the committee to be aware. I
vaguely wonder.
Okay. Is that something we should have legal talk? I mean, they are both part of that 501c3.
Isn't the Pathkeepers also a
501c3? No, the Pathkeepers are not a 501c3.
I didn't realize that.
So,
yeah.
Is that something we need to talk to legal about? Or, I mean, they're not a majority.
Right. Yeah, he brought up the question and I don't know an answer. So it either needs to be something that we ask legal about or we didn't clarify that. So I'm not really sure if it
creates. Okay. So let's go through the process of working on to decide whether to make the recommendation. And once we do, then you guys have it in your hands to follow through on?
So we're just making a recommendation to the board.
To the board, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, does that work, Mary?
Okay.
Okay, so floor is open about Annette.
Yeah, it was on the old EPC, and you were a very valued member. You did a lot of work. I'm convinced you'd be a great member of this group.
Thank you.
Anybody?
No, I agree with that. You think? Well, Eric. In the committee. And certainly, I think Mary and David can query with our council to see if there's any conflict of interest. Yeah, to Kensington Advisory Committee.
Yeah, I've already hard as the committee and Georgie. I'm just, who's already done that? I mean, she's already been on both boards at the same time.
It was starting before it dissolved, it's true. So if there was a conflict, I guess I voted it.
Well, I think it should be just reviewed.
I think the question could be asked, but I think it's okay, but.
I really appreciate you coming back and rejoining this committee. I know it was a lot of work that you did, and so the fact that you are subjecting yourself to that again, I really appreciate it. And so I am so happy to see you.
Yeah, thank you.
So do I have a?
Yeah, I'm due to make a recommendation to the board that the members of the
committee. I second. I think they can second. Okay. All in favor? All opposed? Nothing. All right. Not welcome yet, but there. Thank you. All right. Okay. Are we? So we have.
Can I make a comment as a committee member?
Yeah.
I just really wanted to thank Steve, Laurie, Marion. Bill coming, and it's really heartening to see you guys here. We were concerned when we reduced the size of this committee that we would not be getting people coming as much, and it's very welcome. You know, even though you're not an official voting member of the committee, we really want you here. We really want you to be able to say. So please come back.
Yes, and also hopefully you got a flavor of you can say a lot.
Yes.
We do hear you.
True. And you know, I'll say I'll listen to anybody anytime. Anybody wants to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the most important functions of our job is being a pretty good listener.
Okay, that's okay. I have an appointment at 6 that I would like to get out. Or so is there any last public comment or any comment? Not to scare it away, but you can do a minute.
I do one more.
Okay.
I had a meeting with people. Some people in K6 came, and several others. They would like to come and present to this committee about the things they're doing. There's a very engaged group, and they have some recommendations for the direction that the district takes. So I'd like to get them on the agenda sometime soon.
Okay, married
into goal 8 of project 8, I think.
Yeah, they are on earthquake or something.
So is it something that they should come here and then listen to us and participate, or it sounds like they want to make an actual, like, should we do a separate agenda item where they're presenting something?
That's what they want.
That's what they want. Okay, so sounds like they need to reach out to Mary.
Yeah, I can talk to Mary about it. It's not, just,
who
was
it?
That'd be great. Several K6 members.
He's like old third. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That third area K6.
Yeah. Yes. They have regular radio drills, and they have monthly meetings.
And good CERT organization.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. They are very active for Super Fairness. So it would behoove us to actually kind of listen to them. So that's great. Okay, thank you everyone for coming. I really appreciate it. I adjourn this meeting at 5:56 p.m. Okay. Thank you, Mary and staff.
Thank you.
Much nice to be back.